when we're in a marriage and a wife is going sideways and we go, I can't handle this. Well, no, you can't. But through God, you can. When I talked a week ago or whatever, and I said, God doesn't give us more than we can handle. Okay? That's true and it's not true. Okay? There's a truth to it and it's not true. God continuously gives us more than we can handle without Him. He continuously gives us more than we can handle without Him. So it's not like God won't give you more than you can handle. It means He's going to give you this chilling life. It's going to be an easy life, and nothing's going to be difficult. He gives us things in front of us that we cannot do on our own. So He gives us more than we can handle in that sense. All right? And He's never promised us that things are not going to kill us or that things are not going to maim us. It's never been a promise. Okay? But He said, I'll always be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's all-powerful. He's our Father. Everything's under His control. Nothing hits us that God doesn't allow. But He's allowing it as a loving Heavenly Father. So when these things come at us, what happens is it could be just later on today, a certain thing happens, and you go, everything's out of control. Things are out of control around here. Really? What makes you decide that? Well, because this is happening, that's happening. So things, who decided things are out of control? You decided things are out of control. Or the group of you could decide things are out of control. You could all say, things are out of control. Tony doesn't have anything figured out. He's losing it. You could say that. You know what? You might, I know, he's probably right around the corner. I saw him walk by.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. And you know what? You could all be right that you're making you have a better idea than Tony has. You could all be right. Does that mean things are out of control? No, because God's in control. Tony doesn't need to be in control for your life to be okay. No leader has to be in control. No leader has to have the right. So for you to think that means, well, for things to be okay, the leadership always has to make the right decision. Then I'll be okay. Where'd you get that one? My life will be okay as long as leadership makes the right decision. So your life being okay depends on another man doing things right. Well, yeah, he's a leader. Cop does things wrong sometimes. Cops get rough, do things, whatever. Okay, judges make wrong decisions. So what? That's the way it is. Your life goes on. Your life and what God's called you to do is not dependent on what other people do. So what's actually happening when these things are going sideways is God's trying to teach you. He's trying to teach you. Let me put it this way. I want you to think of the opposite. What if the leaders always made the right decision? Your leadership always made the right decision. They always did a good thing. And they always got it right. And you question something, oh, they got it right. Yeah, they got it right. They're like the dad I wish I had that I never had. They're just like so awesome. I mean, you want to stay here. Okay, that's one thing. You can say, man, I love that place. It's always run so perfect. And you end up depending on the leader and you end up worshiping the leader. And it's always run good. And so what happens is you don't grow because you learn that person has got you all the time. That person's got your back all the time. And so you never have to work out anything because anything hard needs to be done, they got it handled, right? How does that make you ready for the outside world? You go, oh my gosh, everything's upside down. You're in an outside world and then you fall apart because you go, oh, the leadership out here is not doing it right. And you haven't learned to stand strong on your own. Okay, so here's the deal. When you're going through difficult things here, when you're going through difficult things with your brother, with leadership, with a work blessing, I don't care what it is, it's exactly what your loving Heavenly Father is using at the time to teach you and to train you in ways that you don't understand. Sometimes we understand it. Many times we don't. Why is God doing this? And I encourage you to ask God, why are you doing this in my life? Because you know what? I ask Him all the time. Most of the time He tells me. Most of the time I get an answer for why I'm going through the difficult thing I'm going through. And maybe and people say, well, He never does that for me. Well, so I go, hey, I'm all that. He does that for me. He doesn't do it for you. You know what the truth might be? He might say, well, Rick, you just happen to be weaker than them I know you need the answer for you to keep trusting and move forward. So you're the weak one I'm giving the answer to. They trust me without knowing the answer. You need the answer. You see how it can be totally upside down? I could go, hey, you know what? I'm seriously, 90, 95% of the time, I'm going through something. I say, God, why is this happening? He tells me. I go, okay, I see it. You know, you're trying to grow me here. You're trying to grow me there. I got the answer. So I could walk around and be all that. Oh, God speaks to me. He doesn't tell you. And then you get to heaven and say, well, Lord, man, it's pretty awesome. He goes, yeah. Those guys, they had it together. You needed the extra information. I go, oh. You see how we have to be humble? Because you even look at something like that and say, God talks to me. He talks to me, doesn't talk to you. And you can be cocky about it, and actually, because you're the wimp. You're the wimp that had to get carried. And I believe that, truthfully. If you want to know the truth, you say, why did God, because I've asked him, why are you talking to me? He said, because you need it. I know you need this, otherwise I wouldn't do it. Because other people don't got it. I got it, and I asked him why, and that's what he told me. He said, you need it. I said, okay, well, thank you, Lord. And it's pretty cool. So I know. So ask, because you never know. You might find out. But the point is, the scripture, and I said over and over, endure hardship as discipline, it says. Endure hardship. And so almost all the stuff you guys complain about is hardship. And you complain about it. And God says it's discipline. And discipline is means, you say, well, we look at discipline like punishment, like you're getting hit with the bell, getting slapped around or whatever. That's not discipline. Okay, discipline is, okay, guys, you need to lose a little bit of weight. What we're going to do is we're going to get you out and we're going to run you for 20 minutes. We're going to jog you. And you're going to try to stop and say, let's keep moving. Let's go. That's discipline.
Correct.
Push. You know, you've been drinking and all this kind of stuff, and your body needs to get moving. So we're going to go out running. Come on. Let's go. You know, you're looking a little like you haven't got so much sunlight. We're going out running. Come on. We're going to go jog for 20 minutes. Let's get moving. You know, you're sitting there looking a little tired. We're going to go out running. We're going to do it. You know, you just need to run. You just absolutely. I can't even see so many reasons. You know.
Yeah.
And right. You, I don't know what to do with you. You run at the mouth pretty good. But but the point is, there's different reasons for different people. And we're going to go out and you're going to say, let's stop. And I said, no, keep moving. You got to keep moving for 20 minutes. Keep going. That's discipline. And you get to the end and you're sore and you go, that was really stupid. I'm sore now than I was, so no, you'll be fine. And the next day you're a little sore. And the third day, all of a sudden you go do something, you go, wow, that was easier. Why? Because I'm stronger. My heart feels better. My lungs, I'm not breathing hard when I did that. Because I disciplined. And no discipline seems pleasant at the time. It doesn't seem pleasant. But it reaps a reward, scripture says. Okay? So what do? We have our own idea. Discipline's supposed to be pleasant, right? Think this is not supposed to be this way. You know, it's supposed to be done different. And if it was just done different, I'd be happy. You know? And they're not doing it the right way, so I'm not happy. Really? Who came up with all that? You did. It's not in the Bible. It's not true. It's not even true for this world if there was no heaven. It's not even true for this world. Because if you don't discipline your body is worse off than if you do discipline your body. Okay? People are a little heavy, a little bit, right, that work out are in way better shape than people that are trim that don't work out. They're way healthier. So it's not just a matter of weight. Okay? People that sit around their butt that are skinny and play video games all day long are way worse shape than a guy that's 40 or 50 or 60 pounds overweight is working his body. Okay, so it's not a weight issue. So don't think, oh, well, I don't have any weight to lose. I'm fine. Doesn't matter. You got to work out. You got to work your body. You work your body, it gets stronger. That's it. If you don't discipline your body, it doesn't get stronger. If you put garbage into your body always, you're eating all a bunch of sweets and all kinds of garbage, your body reflects it. Right? You eat better food, you do better. Okay? Discipline and self-control. Two things. When you smoke, you hurt your body. Okay? Done deal. Just fact. You're putting something in your body that's hurting your lungs, hurting your body, taking you down. Okay? That's the way it is. And in the world, you have self-control to say, I'm going to say no. We're supposed to say no to ungodliness, right? You say no to things that are harmful to you, right? And then you discipline yourself to do things that are good for you. Okay, I'm going to make sure I get enough sleep. I'm going to make sure that I eat decent. And I don't eat too much, I don't eat too little, eat some good food, and I'm going to work my body some. I'm going to take 20 minutes a day and push my body a little bit. Oh, it's uncomfortable. Really? You think it's not uncomfortable when you get older and you can't even climb upstairs and do stuff or get in and out of a car? That's pretty uncomfortable. You look at older people, man, especially in America, and America is different than the rest of the world, really different. A lot of the rest of the world, obesity is the number one in America. I think it's number two in Mexico, believe it or not. So you go, well, they're poor, you know. It's two or three in Mexico. It's going up all these different parts of the world, India and all these different places. But you look at people in Europe, and people are riding their bikes in their 80s. You know, the concept is completely different. How are we doing wrong? We're comparing to everybody around us. We're setting what we think our life should be like based on what we see everybody doing. Oh, I'm doing a little better than them, so I'm doing good enough. I'm not that out of shape, so I'm okay. I'm not that drunk, so I'm okay. I'm not that high, so I'm okay. I'm not that whatever. Whoever said, compare yourself to who's around you. You're supposed to learn. Quit comparing yourself to people around you. It has nothing to do with anything. God has called you to do what He wants you to do. And what you see people doing around you, their successes or their failures, has nothing to do with what He wants you to do in your life. Say it again. When you look at people around you, whether you see they're better than you, worse than you, doing better than you, or worse than you than anything, has nothing to do with what you're supposed to be doing. Quit comparing yourself to anything around you. Quit comparing yourself to anybody around you. Just stop it. Because that's not what God... You ever see in the Bible? Go look at that. The only time we were told to compare, Paul said, look at me serving the Lord. As you see me serving the Lord, do it. Okay, look at me and how I'm serving Jesus. You know, be like me. He wants to be imitators of Christ. You want to compare yourself to somebody? Compare yourself to Christ. What did He do? Well, He never complained. He had no place to lay His head. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. So you got to get totally outside the box of the world that you're in. And looking around at your brothers, looking at your leaders, looking at anything and say, oh, they're this and they're that. And they're, forget it all. You know what it comes right down to? You're alone. You're completely alone. Okay? And don't say, oh, where's the body? Yeah, I'll tell you about that in a second. But you're alone. It's you and God, and that's it. If you're married, you're alone. It's you and God. But God, I did this because she did this and she did this and she did that. Really? I did this because she did that? I failed because she did that? I failed because he did that? Really? That's not like kids on the playground. Well, I hit Johnny because Susie did this. Oh, come on. You hit Johnny. You know, why'd you hit Johnny? Well, they did that. You know, if you're not defending yourself, why'd you hit Johnny? You can blame everybody else. Well, everybody was doing it. Everybody was doing that. Everybody came in late. So I came. Really? Were you supposed to be on time? Yeah. But everybody was. Everybody was. Everybody was. Sounds like a little grade school kid trying to make excuses. Right? And that's what we do. Well, they're all doing it. So what's so bad about it? They're not doing this, so why should I go do that? Why should I be out preaching on the street? Why should I be out serving people? Why should I be out working for free and helping some old lady? Why should I be helping my brother who's struggling for 2 or 3 days? Why should I do any of this stuff? If God's called you to do it, you do it. But nobody else is doing it. So, it's you and God. You're all alone. And I'm telling you, even in a marriage, that close relationship, you cannot blame your wife for anything you're not doing right. You cannot blame your wife, or even your wife, for anything you're not doing right. I always tell people, to simplify it, God's called you to be the best husband you can be. You can't fix that marriage. You can't make a marriage work. Okay? But you're to be the best husband you can be. You're to be the best father you can be. Even now, if you have kids, start being the best father you can be.